Hey guys, I'm Heidi Preeb. Welcome back to my channel, or welcome if you're new here. Today on this channel, I want to talk about one of the most confusing places that we can arrive at inside of relationships, which is the place where things are not working, but we can't quite pinpoint why. And in this golden era of relationship content being abundant and free to access online, I do think that it can be really easy to assume that anything that goes wrong inside of a relationship goes wrong because of things like mismatched attachment styles or personality disorders, or one or both people not knowing how to communicate properly. Right? But that's not the case all of the time. We're not always dealing with a skill deficit in relationships. Okay, so what we're going to go over today is basically two different axes that we tend to experience problems on inside of relationships, as well as how we can work with problems that fall into each category. So the axes that we're going to talk about are compatibility and skill. So when we look at compatibility, we're essentially looking at, is your relationship with a given person a good fit with the whole system that is your life? Okay, so not just do you like each other, but which traits do you naturally bring out in each other or naturally suppress in each other? And how does that interact with both of your lives as a whole? So this axis kind of looks at your relationship as an open system. Okay, so how does your influence on each other impact all of the other areas of your lives for better or for worse? And then when we look at skill, we're essentially looking at the relationship as a closed system. So how good are the two of you at coordinating inside of the relationship in a way that allows for conflict to actually get resolved? Right? And for mutual goals to get accomplished and all of that fun stuff. So is the relationship itself spiraling more towards chaos and dysfunction as time goes on? Or is it moving more towards cooperation and cohesion? Now, of course, compatibility and skill interact with each other, right? They're not totally separate constructs in reality, but for the purpose of simplifying things a bit, we're going to go ahead and briefly imagine that they are. So if we were plotting compatibility and skill on a chart, it would look like this. So we can, of course, have a relationship between two people that are highly compatible and who also have really strong relational skills, which is generally where most of us want to be or are trying to get to, right? And these are the types of relationships where it generally feels like a no-brainer to stick around and try to work through conflicts as they come up. And then we have relationships that are high compatibility, low skill. So these are generally relationships that work really, really well and can feel like absolute soulmate level matches until the first conflict comes along. And then depending on how low each person's skill level is, things can go incredibly wrong incredibly quickly. However, they're also the relationships that stand the best chance at actually getting better if both people decide to work on increasing their skill level. Then we have relationships that are low compatibility, high skill. And I think that there can be a kind of healthy version of this and a toxic version of it, depending on why the people are in the relationship. So this could be a relationship where two people have sort of outgrown their romantic feelings for each other. Maybe they got together and started a family really young, but they've made the decision to stay together for the kids. And maybe they're managing to do that in a way that's very respectful and loving. So even though it's not the most fulfilling relationship anymore, it's highly functional and it's serving an end that both people find it valuable to serve. And then in its less healthy form, this could be a relationship that's stable and that's kind of working fine, but one or both people are massively suppressing themselves in order to make it work. Okay, so these relationships have a high potential to be quite draining, because you're having to invest a whole bunch of skill and effort to keep something together that doesn't necessarily offer a strong return on investment, right? You're pouring more energy into it than you're getting back from it, sometimes by a very significant margin. And then we, of course, have an incompatible, low-skill relationship. And this one I actually think is particularly interesting because you would think intuitively that this would be the easiest type of relationship to leave, right? Like, okay, we're not well matched for each other and we don't know how to resolve conflict. So what is the point of staying? But I actually have a hypothesis that for some people, This can be the hardest relationship dynamic to leave because skill issues can obscure compatibility issues, sometimes for a really long time. So we might think, okay, if we could both just do the healing work and learn to communicate better, then we would have this really happy and wholesome relationship. When in reality, there might be some really deep incompatibility issues that are happening under the surface that are driving all of the conflict that's popping up in the first place. And especially if this is something like a high conflict relationship, the relief that comes from the fights temporarily stopping can get mistaken for those happy in love feelings, which we might mistake for compatibility. So this is where we fall into that kind of trauma bonding territory, potentially. So I actually think that this category can be the hardest one to decision make around, because sometimes it's going to take one or both people developing more relational skill in order to be able to see their compatibility issues clearly in the first place. And we're going to talk more about what that looks like later on in this video. Now, both of these axes are changeable to an extent. But the way that we deal with skill issues when they're what's impacting a relationship is actually quite different than the way we want to deal with compatibility issues. So figuring out which one it is that we're struggling with can go a really long way towards finding the best fit solution. Now, sometimes in life, we get stuck in things like decision paralysis, not because we don't care about the outcome of our choices, but because dealing with them just takes up a lot of bandwidth. That can apply to the really big decisions in our lives, like what to do about our relationships, but it can also apply to taking care of our health. So I used to be the absolute worst at putting off doctor's appointments, not because I didn't want to go to them, but because the booking process itself just took up so much executive functioning. So finding the right kind of doctor and then figuring out whether they took my insurance and then calling around to see which of the doctors who actually met those criteria had any sort of availability in the upcoming days or weeks, the whole thing would just lead to decision fatigue for me. Which is why I'm excited to talk to you about the sponsor of today's video, ZocDoc. ZocDoc takes all of those micro decisions that need to get made when we're looking for a healthcare provider, and it collapses them into a simple and very straightforward process. ZocDoc is a free website that makes it easy to find and book high-quality in-network doctors based on your preferences. You can search by symptom or by specialty. They have over 200 specialties covered. Filter by your insurance and read reviews from real patients, so you can get a sense of who someone actually is before you book with them. ZocDoc has over 150,000 providers across all 50 states, including primary care, dentistry, dermatology, eye care, mental health, you name it. You can see real-time availability and book instantly, and appointments typically happen really fast, often within 24 to 72 hours, sometimes even the same day, without ever needing to call anyone. So I personally always feel really relieved when I can finally get connected to a healthcare provider who actually listens and takes my concerns seriously. Because when that happens, we can usually get to the root of whatever is going on so much faster. So one thing that I really love about ZocDoc is the part where you can read real patient reviews on the platform itself. So you can start to get a sense of what different doctors are actually like before you ever book with them. Now, you guys know that I'm always telling you to take care of yourselves, and taking care of your health is a huge part of that. So if there's a doctor's appointment that you've been putting off, you can go to my link at zocdoc.com/HeidiPriebe, which is also linked in the description below, to find and instantly book a top-rated in-network doctor near you. Thanks again to ZocDoc for sponsoring this channel and for helping to make healthcare easier for all of us. All right, now to get back to this question of compatibility versus skill. We're going to take a look at what both of those terms mean within the context that we're talking about them today. So my favorite way to think about compatibility is that it's what we have when one person, just being exactly who they are, tends to naturally bring out the best in the other. Or emotional compatibility might look like one person's natural way of expressing themselves, regardless of what emotion they're expressing, tends to connect with the other person in a way that gives them more access to their own emotional range. So I have some really beautiful friendships in my life that function like this, where literally just hearing about what the people I'm close with are going through in as unfiltered a way as they want to share it really helps me to connect to my own feelings and express myself more honestly to them in return. That's high emotional compatibility. Or in romantic relationships, sexual compatibility might look like one person's desires naturally turning the other person on. So each one gets a little bit more excited the more the other one expresses themselves in that department. So when we have high compatibility, each person just being exactly who they are, without trying to like change or monitor themselves in any significant way, enriches the other person's expression of who they are. So these types of connections tend to be highly resourcing, right? They're the friendships or partnerships or the connections that make us feel like we are more ourselves just by virtue of having that person in our lives. And then on the flip side, the less compatible two people are, the more each one is going to have to suppress themselves in order to make the relationship work. So intellectual incompatibility might look like one person's natural style of reasoning actually threatens or inhibits the other's thinking. Or emotional incompatibility might look like one person's way of processing triggers the other. Or sexual incompatibility might look like one person's desires disgusts the other. And so in order to make low compatibility relationships work, we often end up suppressing parts of our authentic selves or subtly putting pressure on the other person to suppress the parts of themselves that we don't like, especially if we're not particularly differentiated. Now, on that topic, let's talk about skill issues. So in some ways, we can think of relational skill as what we reach for when compatibility fails us. So it can be pretty easy to feel happy and functional in a relationship with just about anybody before any major differences get surfaced, right? All you have to do before that point is enjoy all of the things that you agree on. But the couples who know how to stay happy after discovering their major differences are generally the couples who have high relational skill levels. So I kind of like to think of this as akin to how you can have no home repair skills, but still live pretty happily inside of a house for exactly as long as the pipes are not leaking for. But then once they do start to leak, it's pretty much just a matter of time before you either figure out how to fix it or have to move out. Now, to follow that metaphor, people who have limited handyman skills might also tend to ignore leaks for longer because they know that they don't know how to fix them. So at the beginning of a relationship, someone with low relational skills might start to sort of sense that they're not a great fit with someone in one particular area or multiple areas, but gloss right over that by convincing themselves that actually, this area doesn't really matter to me, right? Because again, they might see their options as find perfect compatibility or don't have the relationship. Find a house that requires no upkeep or don't move in. So they either leave relationships at the first sign of things needing repair, and I'm looking at you, avoidant attachers, thinking, well, surely someday I'll find a house that will never need any repair, right? Or they'll idealize the leak, and now I'm looking at you, anxious attachers, and convince themselves that actually I sort of like the way it feels when water drips onto my face in the middle of the night. It's like living under a waterfall. But all of this is to say that what relational skill helps us to navigate is differences when they do show up in a relationship, including differences that might feel really hard to bridge. So to follow the metaphor for just one more minute, secure attachers tend to come into relationships knowing that they're wearing a tool belt. And so as they're getting to know someone, they're not turning a blind eye to the areas where they're incompatible, nor are they instantly disqualifying people off of small differences. They're going, okay, how many incompatibilities versus compatibilities do we have? And how hard would it be to bridge across those areas where we are different? So relational skills, which are those things that secure attachers assume they're going to have to bring into relationships in order to make them last, can be things like self-regulating around the areas of a relationship that feel disappointing, and making wise decisions about how we're going to handle that disappointment. So knowing or reality testing which problems can be collectively worked on as a team versus which ones are unlikely to get resolved, and deciding whether we can work around those unresolvable issues long term or if they're deal breakers. That's one super important relational skill. Another one is being able to diagnose problems accurately. So in low-skill relationships, we tend to see problems either never getting addressed or getting dragged on for ages because the problem that keeps getting brought up and talked about is not actually the heart of the problem. So for example, if two people are low on differentiation, they can spend years arguing about what the right way to be in a relationship is, while totally missing that the real problem is just a basic incompatibility they have. Like maybe not knowing how to have a satisfying sex life when they have different desires, or not knowing how to create emotional intimacy when one person wants to do a lot more emotional processing than the other. And when we don't have the skill to pinpoint where those differences lie, we tend to move very quickly and very unconsciously into distortions. So we might distort ourselves by trying to convince ourselves that actually we really like something that we don't in fact like. Or we might distort the other person and decide that if they don't share our preferences, something must be wrong with them. So they're too emotional or they're too repressed or whatever story helps us make sense of the mismatch that we're experiencing. But any problem that's getting distorted is not actually getting addressed at the core. Right? So the better that we get at building that muscle of self-awareness and of mentalizing and seeing both ourselves and the other person more clearly, the more capable we become of catching things like when we're projecting, especially when we're feeling hurt or activated, and we start to get at the root of what's actually going on a lot more quickly. So other things that can fall under the category of relational skill are things like being able to make wise decisions about how and when to address problems in a relationship. So having the self-regulation skills to kind of process things a bit on our own and then decide how and when we want to bring them up with the other person, rather than getting so overwhelmed by the prospect of conflict itself that we move directly into conflict the second we feel activated, or we avoid conflict indefinitely altogether. So there may be some trauma or attachment responses that need to get worked on in order to upskill in this area. But again, that's all stuff that can be worked on through awareness expansion and skill building. So the more skillful a relationship is, the more conflict actually tends to serve the relationship. Because rather than turning into a power struggle, issues that come up in the relationship get dealt with by surfacing the needs that exist on both sides, and then figuring out how the relationship can expand to become big enough to meet both of those sets of needs. Which again, sometimes might mean outsourcing some of them. Now, here's the interesting thing about this chart. Contrary to what you might think, it doesn't really predict relational outcomes, okay? So you can have two super skillful people who are really good at connecting across their differences, who still choose to leave a relationship that's working well because they would prefer the feeling of being with someone they're more naturally compatible with, if they're in that high skill, low compatibility quadrant. So that's sort of the epitome of what a friendly, secure breakup looks like, right? There's no ill will, there's just a noticing of bad fit. You can also have two people who are super relationally unskillful, but who are compatible enough that they just come across very few problems that require a high level of skill to resolve. And so they might end up existing in a relationship that's actually reasonably happy and healthy for quite some time, maybe even forever, even though both of them have a high potential to become incredibly toxic if they're paired with a partner who is less compatible with them. So none of these quadrants actually lead to a necessary particular outcome, right? It's not like you're doomed if you find yourself in any quadrant other than the high compatibility, high skill one. Having either one of these variables satisfied can do a lot of heavy lifting for the other. But there are always ways to improve upon both, if and when we want to. So if we zoom out, the reason this distinction does matter is because we can spend a really long time trying to solve the wrong problem in relationships. So we can assume that everything we come across is a skill issue and something that we can fix with more awareness or better communication or more effort, when in reality, what we're dealing with is a core incompatibility. Or we can assume that everything is a compatibility issue and that we're just not aligned enough, when in reality, we're lacking the skills to navigate differences that actually could be worked through. And those two mistakes lead to very different types of suffering. Because if you're trying to solve a compatibility issue with a skill, you can end up overexerting yourself in a relationship that's never going to be able to give you back what you're putting into it. And if you're trying to solve a skill issue by leaving, you can end up endlessly repeating the same patterns in different relationships because your underlying capacity to navigate them has not changed. So the goal is not just to ask, is this relationship fixable? It's to ask, what kind of problem am I actually dealing with here? Compatibility issues tend to get solved through increasing our levels of acceptance and by making adaptations. So accepting that this person is exactly who they are, and there might be parts of us that we really want to have brought out through our relationship that they simply cannot do for us without being inauthentic themselves. And then deciding how we want to respond to that reality. So maybe this is someone we really love and feel aligned with on a lot of levels, but they're never going to be the person who kind of naturally inspires the more artistic parts of us. And instead of trying to change that, if we want to stay in that relationship, we can go out and start looking for which other areas of our lives might allow that part of us to be nurtured and expressed. And so that approach can sometimes help us move towards a more kind of neutral ground, where we're not necessarily bringing the best out in each other in every area, but we're also not suppressing each other for the sake of making the relationship work across all fronts, because we think that making it work means we have to be all things to each other. And I think that if that's done well enough, it can actually lead to a deeper appreciation of each other, because we're no longer relating to the fantasy versions of each other, or who we wish the other person was, so we can see them for who they actually are. And in that process, if it's done well enough, the other person actually sort of becomes de facto compatible with us, because we've deliberately built a life that works around our differences, without either person having to change who they are at their core. And by the way, we're always going to have to do this to some extent, right? So we're never going to find someone who is off the charts compatible with us in every single area. And so I think that most of what people are saying, probably largely subconsciously, when they're saying that they've found their soulmate or their perfect match or whatever it is some version of, I have found the person that I am compatible enough with, that it's worth it for me to grieve all of the things that they are not. Because what they offer is enough for me to feel comfortable in letting that other stuff go. And figuring out how to get my needs in those areas met elsewhere as I keep choosing this person exactly as they are over and over and over again. Right? So compatibility is more of a threshold thing as opposed to a perfect fit thing. All right, now getting back on track. Skill issues are the things that we tend to talk about a lot more overtly in the self-help or kind of relationality space. So these are things like developing more self-awareness so we can recognize when we are the ones who are getting triggered or projecting or whatever it is, or developing more relational awareness, so getting better at noticing how we're impacting our partners or the people that we're close to and how that's contributing to the problems that we're facing. So this can mean getting better at attunement or reality testing our hypotheses about what's going wrong in relationships. So actually checking in with the other person and seeing if the things that we want to be changed can be changed before writing them off as completely incompatible. Or just overall learning to get better at collaboration and solving problems together. All of that stuff tends to fall into the relational skill category. And when you have a high skill relationship, what it means is that both people are able to update on reality pretty consistently, in a way that allows them to find the best fit solutions to problems, as opposed to trying to shove an idealized solution into existence. And I want to point out again that it's not always going to be immediately apparent to us which area our problems are existing in. So a question that I tend to get all of the time in the comments section is, how do I apply these skills to a relationship where the other person doesn't want to work on them with me? And I mean, the easy answer is, of course, you can ask if they would like to work on those with you. You can invite them into that process. But if they don't want to, what you are dealing with is primarily not a skill issue. It's an incompatibility in the area of problem solving and conflict resolution. So you have different preferences about how things should get worked through inside of a relationship. So when we have a compatibility issue, we look at how to work on acceptance, right? I personally think that the only way for a partnership to really work under those circumstances where one person wants to upskill and the other person doesn't is if the person who does want to do that upskilling accepts, like truly in their bones accepts and becomes deeply okay with the fact that they might have to carry the load of that emotional labor in the relationship alone, potentially for as long as they're in the relationship. Which I will say, I actually have seen work in some cases, but generally those are cases where the amount of emotional labor needed in the relationship is already pretty low because there's either a high degree of compatibility or because both people are just fairly securely attached already. So regulating the dynamic in those situations is not kind of a full-time job the way it might be in a relational dynamic where both people have severe attachment wounding or underlying trauma or whatever it is. Now, with all of this, the point that we're circling around is that skill can help you work through differences, but it can't make two people want the same type of relationship, right? That's a compatibility thing. So you might have high compatibility in the area of conflict resolution if both of you enjoy working through conflict and want to make sure that you stay on the same page with each other and try out different strategies until you get there. Or if both of you genuinely prefer to push things under the rug, that can actually be a dynamic that works as well. The Gottmans talk about this, which is really interesting. They're saying there are some types of avoidant relationships where people actually are repressing things in a significant way that kind of causes them to lose connection to themselves and each other over time. But there are also relationships where both people are conflict avoidant in a way that they're actually happy with. So they're not kind of losing connection to themselves or their partner by shoving things under the rug. They're actually just doing that acceptance piece pretty quickly over and over and getting back to equilibrium. So when we look at compatibility in the area of problem solving or conflict resolution, we're actually not looking just at how skillful are both these people. We're looking at, do they prefer to do things in a similar way? Or does one person maybe wanting to approach all of these skills and bring all these new things into the relationship really trigger that other person who might have more of that natural, non-toxic version of that avoidant preference, where they just kind of prefer to ignore certain things until they go away? Both can be healthy, and yet the relationship can be deeply incompatible in that particular department. So when we are looking at making decisions, like whether we want to keep working on things in a relationship that's struggling or give up and go looking for higher compatibility somewhere else, it's always going to be a delicate equation. But I do find that looking at it in this way, so separating out those variables of compatibility versus skill, and then looking at how they interact with one another, can go a long way in figuring out how to proceed. Compatibility issues, again, resolve with more acceptance and creative problem solving around the natural limitations of the relationship. So basically, we want to differentiate in the face of compatibility issues. And skill issues get resolved by learning, increasing our awareness of relationality in general, and finding better ways to coordinate around solving problems. And sometimes we really do need to do a little bit of reality testing to figure out which of those things we're struggling with. So maybe we develop some extra relational skills, and the more we put them to use, we realize, okay, we're still ending up locked in these kind of repetitive conflict loops that aren't resolving. Maybe that's pointing at an underlying incompatibility we have. So we might actually be falling more into that low compatibility, low skill quadrant than we thought we were. And how do we want to work with that? Which differences in each other might we want to work on accepting and adjusting around to make sure that our lives run more smoothly if we decide to stay together? And I could go on and give about 1,000 more examples of this, but I think I am going to start wrapping that up here for today in the interest of keeping it somewhat short enough to actually be digestible. But Any thoughts, curiosities, questions that you have coming up as you've gone through this video, please leave in the comments section below. I love you guys. I hope you're taking care of yourselves and each other. And I will see you back here again really soon.